It's time for What's Up with Steve Abel from the Green Party.
Morena, Steve.
Morena.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Real good. How are you guys?
Yeah, good.
Real good too.
It's been a busy few weeks getting back into the swing of things politically. Obviously, Waitangi weekend happened just over the weekend. Tell us a little bit. Were you at Waitangi on Friday?
I was, yeah. I was in Hawaini Waititi back in Tamaki, Makaurau, on Friday out west, but I was up at Waitangi the day before for the pōwhiri on the upper marae. And they welcomed us all on as kawanatanga, as the whole parliament. So previously they've separated out the opposition parties from the government parties, but the last 2 years have all come on together.
Tell us a little bit about what the mood at Waitangi was with kawanatanga being welcomed on.
Yeah, I would say there was a somewhat subdued mood. There wasn't the same level of intensity in terms of the presence of activists up there as the last 2 years. But I think a lot of that is to do with people busy, you know, putting food on the table, and it's a bit of a... you know, you have to better take time out of your day to get up to Waitangi. But the reception at the marae from the local area, from the whole kāinga, was pretty unhappy with the government, as you might expect. And there were some further outrageous things said by some of the government parties about, for example, that colonisation was good for iwi Māori, which is a revolting claim, and the sort of division-stoking narrative that we've heard from this government that has done a lot of damage to the cohesion of our nation in their time.
Do you feel as though that was David Seymour who made that comment after his speech to when he was speaking to media? Do you feel as though people like David Seymour should be allowed to speak at Waitangi?
I mean, I think people, that's the choice of the local iwi, you know, Ngāpuhi, who they permit to speak. But, I mean, I think the broader picture is that, in simple terms, there's no version of us thriving as a country unless there's cooperation between the government and iwi Māori. I don't see how you paint a picture of us doing well if that is not a fact. And that cooperation is only possible so long as there is a genuine commitment to uphold our founding agreement, which allows the right of self-determination to iwi Māori, and this government has done everything they can to not do that. They've undone the health of that relationship, and so far as there was any quality relationship there, they've been divisive, they've taken the treaty out of legislative structures, they've shut down the Māori Health Authority among a multitude of agencies that were specifically about allowing Māori to make decisions and do things on their own terms. And that is anti our founding agreement. It's anti the country thriving. It's anti Māori. And so, you know, I don't think David Seymour with that sort of attitude is a fit leader for Aotearoa New Zealand if we want a country that is cohesive and thrives.
On that sort of topic of, just this time of reflection on history, but also of kotahitanga and how issues are raised at Waitangi, I know that a lot of top of people's minds after the weekend was sort of some tensions amongst Te Pāti Māori coming to a forefront. And I'm interested as to how the Green Party is feeling about the state of Te Pāti Māori going into an election year. The potential of forming a left bloc together, where things are at in terms of that relationship.
Yeah, I mean, in the first instance, I think a lot of parties have their dramas and their issues, and we've had that ourselves. And if you look through the course of the last decade, pretty much every party in Parliament has had their issues. And that's kind of the reality of politics at some level, is one thing I've realised. So I don't really want to comment on what's going on for them. What I do want to be clear about is that the electorate, certainly the Māori electorate, and we got a lot of feedback on this up there at Waitangi, are looking for strong representation. They want an alternative to this government. And from our point of view as the Green Party, we stand here absolutely committed to upholding the treaty and meaningful, material, better outcomes for iwi Māori and for all New Zealanders, obviously. That's what we stand for. And I certainly hope, I feel for Te Pāti Māori, and I certainly hope that they find a way to sort out whatever issues they've got as soon as they can.
Mm. So in the meantime, the Green Party is still feeling strongly that you can work with Te Pāti Māori in the future?
Yeah, I mean, we have a very strong collaborative relationship with members of Te Pāti Māori in the Parliament. We all get on well with them, so there's no issues with that. I think their issues are internal, and that's for them to deal with, not for us to comment on.
Mm. Let's move a little bit on to the government's new plans for a liquefied natural gas import terminal. There's been a lot of discourse around the semantics of whether what's going to pay for this is a levy or a tax. How important is the language that we use here?
On that particular point, I don't think it matters too much, but I thought it was quite humorous that after...
yeah, it did seem to take up a lot of time yesterday.
He said it wasn't a tax, but then both Seymour and Peters came out and said it's a tax. Let's just call it a tax, which I thought was pretty humorous. Once again, the coalition can't agree with itself. But
yeah.
the more problematic thing is the fact that they're investing in this massive fossil fuel project. So the biggest single publicly funded energy project of this government will be investing in a gas terminal and regasification facility, which is a massive lifeline to the oil and gas industry, who have lobbied very hard for this. And just to give you some context, the $2.7 billion that it will cost over 15 years, that's the cost of building it, and then the $180 million annually lease cost, Bernard Hickey pointed out, that would allow you to build enough solar and battery infrastructure to power 2.5 million homes. And there's only 2.1 million homes in New Zealand.
Yeah.
So gives you a sense of what a terrible investment it is when we could be massively decarbonising with that amount of money. And that decarbonisation, or that amount of solar infrastructure and battery infrastructure, would mean we could keep water in the dams during the dry years, and the dams would act as massive batteries, because effectively that's what they are. They sit there as water waiting to be put through turbines to generate electricity at our will. So that deals with the intermittency of solar and wind. And those three combinations of renewable energy, solar, wind, and hydro, are in perfect complement with each other. And on top of that, we also have geothermal, which is another better option than imported LNG.
Mm. Mm. Am I right in understanding that a lot of the byproduct from this liquefied natural gas import terminal is actually put back overseas?
Exactly, yeah. So half of our current gas supply is already exported by a Canadian company called Methanex, who turn it into methanol. And that's one of the things we proposed in our Hayaranamata, our climate plan, was that if we're anxious about securing that gas supply, it would be better just for the government to buy the licences off Methanex and re-nationalise the gas, so that for those industries who still haven't sorted out how to get off gas, there can be a bit more of a transition. But increasing the gas supply is the worst thing to do, because it locks us into that deeper dependency. But if you think of the supply and demand equation, supply is a big part of what generates demand. And the reason we've got such a dependency on gas is because we found a whole lot of gas in the 70s and the 80s, and then built the infrastructure to spread it around the place. And then we became locked into the dependency on that gas, which is a finite resource, of course, unlike the sun and the wind. Increasing supply by creating a terminal that can then import gas allows the likes of Methanex to keep doing what they do, when actually we want those industries to be sunset industries and we need to move to more renewable-based ways of providing livelihoods.
Mm.
And one final point is that LNG, because of the process of fugitive emissions you get when you extract gas, i.e. gas that escapes into the atmosphere as you're getting it out of the ground, The most potent gas, methane, you know, 80 times more global heating potential than carbon dioxide.
Yeah.
And the fact that it costs so much energy to compress the gas to turn it into liquefied natural gas and then ship it here, it's more polluting than burning coal.
Wow.
Ooh.
So Luxon has managed to find an even dirtier fossil fuel than coal, and he's going to put $1 billion of your money towards importing it.
Mm. Aside from the sort of environmental issue, I guess top of a lot of people's minds is what this is going to cost Kiwis in terms of their taxes. Now, Prime Minister Christopher Luxon has said that in the long run, it's going to save people money, and the facility could be operational as soon as 2027 or early 2028. What's this going to cost people, and is it actually going to end up costing less to, you know, daily power bills?
I think it will cost people, and I can't see how it will cost them less, because the primary beneficiaries of it will be the big industrial energy users, the likes of Methanex or Fonterra.
Mm.
And that's who it really gives, you know, potential security and certainty to, rather than getting Fonterra to switch to ways of dehydrating their milk powder that don't involve gas or coal. But the way it will cost us is that the levy will be charged, or the cost of it will be charged, passed on to the electricity suppliers. They will invariably pass the cost on to their consumers. So whether we're using it or not, whether there's even a dry year that needs to be dealt with or not, we all somehow are going to have to pay the cost of it. And I can't believe that the likes of Meridian or Mercury or Contact are going to absorb a $10 billion cost and not pass it on to all of their customers, who are you and me.
Mm. Mm.
And that's the way that it will manifest as a levy or a tax, effectively. We'll all pay more for our electricity to cover the costs of this LNG terminal that primarily benefits big corporate gas users, not, you know, everyday people.
Mm. Right, I think that's just about all we have time for. But thank you very much, Steve, for joining us for another Kōrero. Always nice to catch up with you, and hope you have a wonderful rest of your week.
Yeah, have a wonderful week. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve.
Bye.
That was What's Up with Steve Abel from the Green Party.